आशं आत्मना कवयो विधु स एव साधु सुकृतो मोक्षद्वारं अभावृतम्। Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, the sadhu, opens the door of liberation. Tadikshifa karunaka surada sarvadehinam ajata satrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu and that is that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful, abides by the scriptures, and all of his characteristics are sublime. Mayananyena bhavena bhaktin kurvanti ye dridham matkrite tyaktva karmanas tyakta svajana bhandava. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within the world. Madashayakatamrishta srinvanti katayanti cha tapandi vividhasthapa Naitan Madgata Chetasa. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Te ete sadava sadvi sarva sangha vivarjata Sangasteshvatate pratya sangadosa harahite. O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all material attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. Satam prasangam mama virya samvidho bhavanti hritkaranas rasaya nakatha taj joshanad aswapavargavartmani sadharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation and thereafter is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. These verses from the third canto of Bhagavad Puran are being spoken by the Supreme Lord, Kapila Dev, to his most blessed and fortunate mother, Devahuti. In this chapter, which is entitled The Glories of Devotional Service, he is explaining how the process of the true path of self-realization is begun. In this world, everyone is very much infatuated by attachments. The attachments which are born of the desires to enjoy the objects of the senses through the senses. Such attachments are the cause of all bondage and therefore the cause of all suffering. Kapila Dev explains that material attachment is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. It is due to this attachment alone that the soul is degraded into a state of complete forgetfulness of its true spiritual nature, and therefore identifies with this phenomena by which one has to suffer the repetition of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. A wise man sees that birth, old age, disease, and death, these are the real problems of life. How to free ourselves from the repetition of birth and death? How to fix ourselves in our eternal constitutional position? Jivera swarupoi Krishnara nitya das. To be engaged eternally in the loving service of Lord Sri Krishna. The question that we have just raised is the real purpose of spiritual life to seek the answer. Athato brahma jigyasa. Human life begins when we begin to try to answer this question. How to disentangle myself from the causes of all suffering, material attachment, and attach ourselves to the loving service of the Lord. Kapila Dev explains here, and his words are not just someone's opinion. He is the avatar of Lord Narayan, who represents the supreme opulence of knowledge. Vidya, Gyan. Each of the different avatars of the Lord specifically manifested a particular Aishwarya or opulence of the Lord. Just like Lord Nrisimha Dev, he manifested the supreme opulence of strength. Lord Vamanadev, he represented the supreme opulence of renunciation. Beggar, although the supreme lord of Vaikuntha, who's the husband of the goddess of fortune, he appeared as a beggar. And when he asked Bali Maharaj for some donation of just 3 steps of land, Bali Maharaj was ready to offer him whatever he wanted. He said, no, I am content just with my begging bowl. I'm only asking for these 3 steps for your sake, not for mine. Ramchandra, he revealed the supreme opulence not only of strength, but of beauty. How whoever saw him was so charmed by his beauty. Even Suparnaka, a great Rakshasi, she could not control herself upon seeing his illustrious infinite beauty. And when Ramchandra was traveling through Naimasharanya, the great sages there, they all wanted to become his wives and enjoy a loving relationship with him. They were so attracted to his beauty. So he said, in my next incarnation, you can become my wives. In this incarnation, I only have one wife, Sita. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashya. Parasaramuni explains that Bhagavan has 6 opulences. Beauty, strength, wealth,
The Lord appeared in his incarnation of such great souls as Swayambhuva Manu, Prithu Maharaj, who literally were the proprietors of all of the earth and all of the universe. Lord Kapiladev is especially that avatar that is manifesting the supreme opulence of knowledge. Through his teachings of Sankhya philosophy to his mother Devahuti, everything materially and spiritually is explained in such scientific, analytical terms that anyone who studies these teachings, all questions in life on every level will be answered. And he speaks from the supreme authority. Vedaham samatitani vartamana nicharjana vavasha nichabhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows every living being. There is nothing unknown to him. So when Kapiladev is explaining, we must hear submissively with complete faith. And then the path to real knowledge is open in our life. And it is explained in the Bhagavatam, etek chang shakala pungsha krishna stu bhagavan swayam, that all of these great avatars have come for specific purposes. But the source of all avatars, who possesses all the six opulences simultaneously, in its fullest extent, Vedavyasa explains, is Krishna. So here Krishna in his incarnation as Kapiladev is instructing us that attachment for material sense enjoyment, in fact attachment to anything temporary in this material world, is the cause of entanglement, bondage, suffering, and the repetition of birth and death. But that same attachment, when it is applied to a sadhu, a self-realized devotee, opens the door of liberation. Kapiladev is not explaining, give up your attachments. There are many philosophers who tell us to do like this. Some philosophers tell us, do not give up your attachments. Enjoy like anything. And think of Krishna, huh? But how can you think of Krishna if you're enjoying like anything? So you see, attachment to material sense objects is the greatest cause of entanglement. Therefore, such so-called religious people who teach, just go on doing whatever you want to do, and chant this mantra. Just go on. You do not need to change your diet. You do not need to change your lifestyle. Just have faith. You will be saved. This is Kaitava Dharma. This is cheating religion. And others say you must completely cut all attachments. But how is it possible? It is the nature of the soul to be attached to something. It is impossible to cut all attachment. Temporarily, we may be able to do so. Just like if you have a weed and you cut it, it's going to grow back. You may not see it for some time, but it's going to grow back. So trying to cut our attachments to this material world is like cutting a weed. It's going to grow back. We may feel liberated for the time being as long as we do not see it, but it is just a matter of time. Therefore, Kapila Muni is explaining the true art of disentangling ourselves from the bondage of this world.
that whatever attachments you have, just redirect it. Become attached to a self-realized devotees. Become attached to the association of devotees. This is what he's saying. Sadhu satsang. To the degree we are attached to the sadhu satsang, the association of true devotees of the Lord, to that extent, we will naturally be immune and detached from the objects of illusion. Therefore, Kapila Dev explains that this is the real beginning of spiritual life. To learn how to seek refuge in the association of devotees. Another great incarnation of Krishna, Rishabhdev, he has said, Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktes, tamodwaram yoshita sangisangam. That by service to Mahat, to Mahatmas, to sadhus, the doors to liberation are opened wide. And by associating with materialistic people, too much attached to sense enjoyment, the doors to bondage and ignorance are opened wide. Who we associate with will determine our whole future in life. Everything is dependent, according to the Lord's words, on the association we keep and how we associate with those persons. So not to kill attachment, but to transfer it. This is the real path of bhakti. And Kapila Dev is about to explain who is a real sadhu. A sadhu, nowhere does it say in the Shastra that he is a man with a saffron robe or a long beard or a shaved head. A sadhu is described in the Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in the devotional service of the Lord. Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyamanya bhanaso kyatva bhutadim avyayam. That a real Mahatma is one who is always engaged in the service of the Lord. Such a person is not to be understood to be under the modes of material nature, but he is directly protected by the mercy of the Lord himself. And Kapila Dev elaborates, Tatikshava karunaka surada sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sadhava sadhu bhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu. One is that he is tolerant. We find in the lives of great devotees of the Lord such an extent of tolerance. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces into a bloody mess by demoniac people with canes and whips. And the whole time, he was just praying to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, praying to Lord Sri Krishna, please forgive them. In fact, during the Mahaprakash, many, many years later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Haridas in front of all the devotees. And he said, Haridas, when you were being beaten between the 22 marketplaces, I had already petitioned my Sudarshan Chakra to destroy these demons who were causing such blasphemies to you. Not only were they beating you, but they were abusing you with the most terrible, terrible, vulgar words of abuse. But within your heart, I could understand your inner desire. And you were praying so fervently as they were beating every part of your body. Please, my Lord, forgive them. Please, give them your mercy. Let them become your devotees. And I realized that if I were to kill them, I would cause you more pain than they're causing you. So therefore, I had to spare their life. Not for them, but for you. Such is the tolerance of the devotees. Lord Jesus Christ, when he was hanging on crucifix, he was praying to God, please forgive these people, they know not what they do. A devotee is willing to bear all sorts of inconveniences in order to help others come closer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, our own Guru Maharaj, you can imagine at the age of 70 years old, having heart attacks on the Atlantic Ocean, coming to New York City, suffering terrible cold, freezing weather, no money, utter poverty, abuses, blasphemies, no help from anybody. But he gladly endured all these things to somehow or other try to reach these very ungrateful people with the message of Krishna. That is tolerance. A devotee is willing to bear whatever happens to himself for the sake of illuminating, enlightening, and uplifting others. He is also merciful. Titikshava, Karunaka. What does it mean to be merciful? Actually, there's only one merciful personality, and that is Krishna. If we think that we have any mercy to give, then we're not merciful, we're proud. If we think that I am very advanced and I can enlighten someone in spiritual life, then we're not merciful, we're in complete illusion. We're completely victimized and defeated by false ego. In order to be merciful, you have to be completely humble. You have to realize that I am nothing. Krishna is everything. My Guru Maharaj, who is representing Krishna, his mercy is everything. And if I can just empty myself of all of this pride, then I can be an instrument of their mercy. A person who realizes I am only the instrument, he can actually be really merciful. Because then God's mercy, without obstruction, can flow through that person's his words, his acts, and his prayers. A person may, by the mystic process, be able to perform many miracles. And through cultivation of knowledge, he may be able to give us so much direction according to scripture. And according to the performance of tapasya, he may be able to really, really just perform great, great sacrifices, fasting and so on and so forth to try to lead people in the right direction. But if there is pride in his heart that just see what I am giving, just see what I have, then that person cannot really be merciful. But a real sadhu, trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana, a real sadhu simply puts himself in the position of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Simply dedicates his life or her life to being an instrument in the hands of Gurudev and Krishna. Just, I will repeat these words. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, I have no qualifications. Says the only qualification is I am simply, with a humble heart, just delivering to you, like a postman, the message of my spiritual master, through my words and through my life. The mercy is all his. We call upon Guru as His divine grace, but His does not mean the Guru. His means Krishna, coming down through the parampara, coming through Him. So one who is simply, with all humility, distributing the mercy of God, not thinking that anything belongs to him, simply an instrument of God's love, that person is merciful. And Suhrida Sarvadehinam, he is friendly to all living entities. That means such a person does not discriminate. Prahlad Maharaj, this was a very, very major teaching in his instruction to his classmates, that materialistic people, they are always discriminating. This person is giving me enjoyment, so he is my friend. This person is causing me suffering, so he is my enemy. But a devotee is the well-wisher of everyone. A devotee sees every living being as his brother and sister. A devotee recognizes the disease in those persons who are acting sinfully. But he is loving and compassionate toward them. He is their friend.
Ajata Satrava Santa. Ajata Satrava means such a devotee, a sadhu, is not inimical to anyone. He is the well-wisher of everyone. Sometimes it is said that sadhu means to cut. Huh? Sometimes the sadhu, he speaks with very strong words. Sometimes it appears that he's insulting us. Sometimes it appears that he's insulting others. But if we look deeply into the subject matter, he's actually only trying to protect us and to deliver us from misconceptions, to deliver us from our own anarthas, to deliver us from being misled. Therefore, sometimes he has to speak out, but he is doing it with no inimicalness toward anyone. But he's doing it like a mother would chastise her child out of love. Of course, a sadhu has no enemies. That means he feels no one to be enemy. But unfortunately, if you try to speak the truth in this world of illusion, so many people will consider you to be their enemy. That is natural. Lord Jesus said, if this society loves you, that means you are not following God. If people hate you, that means you must be following nicely. Huh? Why? Because you're standing up against everything that they represent. Sinful life, sense gratification, and illusion. You'll be popular amongst the pious. But most people are impious. You will not be so popular amongst them. You will be death personified to their whole way of life, which is sense gratification. Therefore, great devotees of the Lord throughout history, we see, have been persecuted a lot. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was persecuted while living in Navadvip in his devotees by the Chand Kazi and others. But a devotee, he has no enemies, but he will have so many enemies. Santa, despite everything going on, he always remains peaceful.
apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudra bapraf shanti shatva tatva shatayam.
In the Bhagavad Gita it is explained that a devotee who has some understanding of Sri Krishna, in that realization, in that connection to Krishna, an ocean of peace, of happiness is awakened within his heart. And this world, due to its nature, dualities everywhere, through the person's mind and senses, there are always happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, heat and cold. And physically, these things may very much affect him. But in his heart, he's so much submerged in this ocean of transcendental peace that these things cannot disturb him. Happiness will not elate him, and distress will not depress him.
Krishna says in the Gita, Tam statikshasva bharata,
that the non-permanence of happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, honor, dishonor, all of these things, they are coming like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. An intelligent person tolerates them without being disturbed. What does that mean? That he goes on with his service to the Lord, no matter what comes upon him. This is the difference between a sincere devotee and a devotee who is not very serious. A devotee not very serious, if any impediment comes upon him, he gives up his service. I can't do it. I cannot. It's just too difficult. I cannot do it. Maybe some other day, but not today. If there's a little disturbance in health, if people are not treating you with honor and respect, if the weather conditions are not pleasing to your senses, we think, oh, how can anyone expect me to do my service in these conditions of life? Too much disturbance. But a sincere devotee, he will tolerate any type of condition. He will tolerate happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain. And what does it mean that he's tolerant? It means he will go on with his service. He will go on with his service to the Lord. He will go on with his service to humanity. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he was 80 years old. He was traveling all around the world constantly, facing so many problems, government problems, legal problems, all types of problems of health, all types of problems due to his neophyte disciples. But he never even considered, even for one day, even for one moment, not continuing his service. And we should not be so cold-hearted and impersonal to think that such a great soul is not enduring tremendous pain and suffering. On one level, there is tremendous pain and suffering. But the fact that he's willing to endure that for the sake of serving Krishna and helping others is actually his real glory. And in enduring that, the pain and suffering is there. The inner reciprocation of Krishna is he gives on a higher platform an ecstasy and a peace that cannot be understood with the material mind. So they are both going on simultaneously. It explains that he abides by the scriptures. That means he never gives his own opinion.
Evam parampara praptam idam raja shayabhudhu.
He receives knowledge of the scriptures through disciplic succession, parampara. And he simply repeats those words and in his life abides by those teachings. This one quality itself will expose most so-called religious leaders as not really being sadhus. That they are not giving their own interpretation, they are not giving their own opinion, they are simply following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. And then he goes on that if such a devotee engages a sadhu in staunch devotional service without deviation, for the sake of the Lord, he's willing to renounce any connection that is unfavorable for his service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of a perfect devotee, when he saw that his being a grihastha was impeding people from hearing his message, he was willing to give up, renounce his most loving, chaste, and faithful wife, and his most loving mother. Such a wife and mother, nobody could possibly give up in this world. Generally, when a person's ready to take sannyas, he's pretty much frustrated with his family life. Huh? I've been so long, now I will be liberated from all of these anxieties, all of these demands, all of these entanglements. But Mahaprabhu, his wife, she was the most perfect, loving, beautiful, gentle. She was only, I believe, 16 years old. And she was helpless without him. And his mother was an elderly lady who was a widow, who was willing to do anything and everything for him at any moment. Whatever he did, as far as she was concerned, was perfect. And he would support him. She would support him. How to give up such a mother? There is no such thing as a mother like this. There's no such thing as a wife like this in today's society. And if they have a fraction of these qualities, we cannot give it up. But Mahaprabhu renounced it all for the sake of the Lord's service. If a person wants to be a brahmachari and wants to live in the ashram and be very peaceful in that way, and Guru says you can best serve by continuing your business and getting married, and he's willing to renounce for the sake of the Lord living amongst such sadhus as Tattva and Sanat Kumar and Gaur Gadadhar and Devamrita, to live with a wife. Can you imagine? But for the sake of the Lord, he's willing to do that. This is, of course, my perspective. Sannyasis have to be a little partial, you know, otherwise... It's not a prejudice, it's just a defense mechanism that is given by God himself. So he's willing to accept any position, any varna, any ashram for the sake of service to the Lord. This is real renunciation. He's even willing to renounce connections with friendly acquaintances within this world if those persons are not helping him in his Krishna consciousness, if they are impeding his service to Guru and Krishna. Madashraya katha mrishta srinvanti katayanti cha. A sadhu, a genuine devotee of the Lord, is always engaged, constantly engaged, in chanting my holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. constantly engage in hearing about me and speaking about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. In this way, children are very fortunate. If a child, even without understanding philosophy, simply becomes attached to a saintly person, for any reason, his spiritual life, the doors to liberation are opened wide. And in this way, we must also become like children. We shouldn't be childish, but we should be childlike. Childish means foolish. Childlike means having innocence and faith. And if we learn to become attached to the association of sincere devotees, and we make that attachment the focal point of our life, and we center all of our activities and all of our desires around that attachment, attachment to associating with sadhus, then Krishna will make every sort of arrangement to bring us back home, back to Godhead. He will open every door to the higher realizations of pure bhakti. In the association of devotees, Krishna, service to Krishna, service to Guru, is always the topic, nothing else. Therefore, such association can give us immunization from all of the temptations and contaminations of our life. Today we were speaking to some doctors at Adi Keshav Prabhu's house, and one of the doctors asked the question that in our daily work we have to meet so many very materialistic people. People really just greedy and hungry for enjoyment. How could we remain pure in heart? If you take an inoculation regularly, then even if you have to go into places where there is disease and contamination, you will be protected. But if you do not take your regular inoculation, you will be infected and diseased. By regularly chanting God's name in our home every morning, every evening, by reading the scriptures, by following the four regulative principles, no illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, and by regularly associating with saintly devotees, sincere devotees of the Lord. This is the inoculation that will immune us. And if we regularly take shelter of this process, then even if we have to work in this world, we will never be affected. We will never be contaminated. We will never fall prey to these diseases of material attachments. So, Krishna explains to Narada Muni, Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, that wherever my devotees, wherever the sadhus are coming together to chant my names,
I am there. In this age of Kali Yuga, the real association that we should become attached to is that association where the glories of the Lord, the service of the Lord, and the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is always taking place. So let us take advantage of this rare opportunity. There are so many very, very sincere devotees of the Lord who have come here tonight simply to hear and chant about Krishna.